The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Ayin Bet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Nassim and Elias Bassan, Hashem Yishmerem V'Hayem, in memory of their dear mother, Sarah Bat Malkah. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by the Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Atzlaha V'Lishmirat Hayale V'Toshavei Eretz Yisrael, that Be'azat Hashem, Borei Olam should protect us from our enemies, and for all Hasb Shalom Tzarot, and Be'azat Hashem Shomer Yisrael Shomer She'erit Yisrael Ve'al Yovad Yisrael Emotion Emar Nelo Yanum Velo Yishan Shomer Yisrael Ubal Yisrael Goel. Amen Ve'amen. We begin today's daf on Ayin Aleph Amud Bet on the bottom line. We are in the Gemara's discussion over here on the different strings, threads of the different garments of the Kohen Gadol or the Kohanim, and we went through that. Whenever it says, for example, the word shesh in the Torah, it means that it was sixfold. We discussed different garments that were 12-fold, 24, and 28. So now we're going to go back and bring sources for all the garments that we did not discuss until this point. So the Gemara is up to the Mi'il. That's the robe that the Kohen Gadol wore. That robe was all made out of one material, the chelet. That's the blue string. So the Gemara says, Mi'il shene ma'asar. The Mi'il was actually 12-fold. Minalan dektiv. It says in the Pasuk, Ve'asita et mi'il ha'efod, and you will make the mi'il ha'efod, the robe, kalil techelet. Pasuk calls the techelet that you use kalil, which we interpret to mean braided. As she says, gedil, ve'en gedil pachot mishnayim. She's one is braided, so automatically you have, each string has to be two. Ve'alif techelet techelet meparochet. And then we make a gezerah shava on the word techelet. This is the word techelet by the mi'il. This is the word techelet by the parochet. That would be the curtain. Ma le'alan shisha. Just like by the parochet, we learned it is six. Afkan shisha. So to over here, it is sixfold. So you have a braided sixfold. So automatically, you're going to have 12 strings in the mi'il. So comes again, what else is v'nilav mishulav v'rimonav. Why don't you learn it from something that's attached to the mi'il itself, namely the rimonim? Yesterday's Gemara we learned that the rimonim, actually each thread was eightfold. It was three threads, different threads by the rimonim, and we said altogether it was 24 fold on them. So you had 8 on each one. That was the case of Mozart. And it says the word techelet also by the Rimonim. So therefore learn 8 fold, and therefore it'll be 16 by the Mi'il. Ma le'alan shmona, third line, afkan shmona. So comes the Gemara and says, danin kli mikli. We'd rather learn a vessel from a vessel, meaning the Mi'il, which is a keli, to the parochet, which is a vessel, the endarim kli mitakshit kli. You don't learn a keli to an ornament of a keli. The rimonim are only ornamental to the mi'il. On the contrary, darim gufo migufo. It's better to learn things of likings to themselves. The mi'il to what's attached to the mi'il. The mi'il to the rimonim. It's gufo migufo. Itself to itself. V'endanin gufo me'alma. Instead of learning an item from somewhere else, meaning the parochet, which has nothing to do with the mi'il. So the Gemara says, fine. Haynu damrinan lishar begadim shelo ne'emar bahem shesh. So okay, so we'll use the rule that we said in yesterday's daf. Yesterday we learned that the Torah said the word shesh several times. And the Gemara said that each time that it repeated the word shesh was to teach us a different derasha. And one of the things it taught us by the extra shesh is that there's an item in the Torah that the word shesh is not written by, but the law of shesh applies. Now we're learning what that item is. That's the mi'il. It doesn't say shesh by the mi'il, but the rule of shesh, sixfold, applies. And therefore, since it's as if it says shesh by the mi'il, and we know it has to be braided, so therefore, six times two, that's how we get 12. So really, the source of mi'il is from the word shesh that was written extra in the Torah. There we go. Parochet, that's the curtain. Esrim ve'arba'ah. Okay, so we said that is indeed, that is 24. Dalid, the shita, shita. There are four species or four types of threads, six each. Because it says the word shesh by the parochet. And we say whenever it says shesh, it's sixfold. So you have the four different type of threads, so six times four, that gets to 24. So the Gemara says, lo dina velo dayana. Because when it comes to the parochet, there's no question. There's no judgment on it. There's no sefek. That's obvious. We know the parochet is 24. We have clear rules. As she says in the fourth line, lo dina velo dayana in sefek v'ir'ur bedavar. There's no doubt on this subject. Hoshen ve'efod ostrim u'shmona minalan. He said the hoshen, that's the breastplate of the Kohen. Gadol, and the ephod would be the apron, so we said it was 28. So where do you get that from? So the Gemara says, Dichtiv, Ve'asita Choshen Mishpat, you'll make the breastplate, Ma'aseh Choshev, Kema'aseh Ephod Ta'asenu, you'll make it like the apron, Zahav, Techelet, Argaman, Ve'tola'at Shani, Ve'shesh Mozav. So now the Gemara is going to analyze the different materials that were in the Choshen. Arba'a deshita shita. So you have four materials besides the Zahav. You have the Tchelet, you have Argaman, Tola'at Shani, and Shesh. Those are four materials. And since it says Shesh, so we know that it's got to be sixfold. So you have six times four. That brings you to what? Eslim v'arba'a. How are you going to get to 28, but? So the Gemara says, Zahav Arba'ah. There was also gold. They weaved gold also into the strings. So therefore, how much gold are you going to use? Four. Ha'esrim v'temanya. That's 28. Now the Gemara is going to analyze, where'd you get four for the gold? If everything else is six. So the Chaura, the gold should be similar. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Zahav Nameshisha. Maybe when you weave the gold in, it's also got to be six. And therefore you'll end up with 30. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaha Bar Yaakov Amar Kerah. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shemot, Vekitzetz Petilim. So it says when they would put these strings of gold, it wasn't strings, it was actually, they would take the metal, the gold, to make it very thin. And then they would make it into like thin strips, and right, and add it to the mixture. So it says vikisets pitilim, and you will cut vikisets to cut pitilim. Pitilim is strips. So the Gemara says pitil pitilim harekan dalid, which means when you have a pitil, pitil is already pitilim is two strips. Okay, pitilim. And it says vikitzetz, you will cut them. So if you're cutting two strips, you're going to end up with four. So then with the fact that it's vikitzetz petilim, that's how we know that there's only four strings of gold, and that's how you get to 28. Gemara says, Rav Asher Amar, Rav Asher is a different answer. Rav Asher says, Amar kera, the pasuk says, La'asot betoch ha-techelet, the pasuk says that where did you put these gold strips, or these gold strings we'll call them? You weave them into the techelet, to the blue string, into the argaman. So, which means in all the materials that you had four materials by the Choshen Mishpat. So in the four materials, you would weave in them the gold strings. Now, how would you do that? Hechi na'avid. How did you weave them together? Na'avid arba'a ditre tre, which means If you're going to weave four into four, into all four, which means you're going to weave to each, meaning two and two, have a do temanya. Then you're going to have eight, which means you're not going to have six, which means the minimum subject you can have, we're saying four. But the logical thing was six, because it says the word shish. That says you have to weave the strings of gold into what each of the four items. So let's analyze. How much strings of gold did you weave in these four items? Two a piece? Can't be. That gets you eight. There's no number eight. It's got to be either six or four. So comes the Gemara and says, Na'avid tre de tre tre. Two out of the threads, weave them with two pieces of gold. That'll get you to four. Vitre de had had. And the other two do single threads of gold. So you have two, one and one. So that brings you to six. So therefore, maybe the gold is six. We got to figure out now the how they divvied up the gold amongst the four strings. So the Gemara assumed the beginning. Well, maybe they divvied it up equal. Two each. Can't be two each. They get eight. There's no number eight. That's not there's no source for a number eight. It's either shesh, or you want to say it's four. Okay, fine. I'll get the six a different way. Do two on one string, two on another string, one and one. Arbitrarily, because I got to get to number six. So the Gemara says that can't be. Ve'asita. The Torah says, ve'asita, regarding the Hoshen Mishpat. Shiyu kol asiyotav shavot. Now we learned that every string that you make has to be equal. Which ve'asita, each one is the same. Now, if each one's the same, you can't put two gold, and one gold. They're not the same. So you have to figure out, how do you divvy it up equal? So the only way to divvy it up equal is how? One each. One gold on each one, and therefore you get four strands of gold. So it comes out, that's how we get the 28 of the Hoshen Mishpat in the Ephod. Again, you have four strings, four threads. Sechelet, Argaman, Tolat, Shani, and Shesh. Six each, that's 24. Plus, you weave one gold strand in each one of the four threads with it. Therefore, it's another four. That gets you to 28. So that's the way the Asher understands. Amar Rehava. Okay, new point. Amar Rehava, Amar Rav Yehuda. Hamkareya Begde Kehuna. Right, somebody comes and rips the Begde Kehuna. Loke. That is punishable by Malkut, lashes. Shnei Emar, because we have a pasuk that says, Lo yikareya. Regarding the clothes of the Kohen, the pasuk says, Lo yikareya. They shall not rip. Matkif la Rav HaBar Yaakov. So Rav HaBar Yaakov has a question. Vidilma haki kama rahmana. Maybe this is what the pasuk was saying. Na'avid le safa, ki echi de lo nikara. Make a hem for the clothes of the Kohenim, in order that it doesn't rip, which is maybe they're just giving you advice. Yeah, which is put a hem around the collar. Why? In order that the garment doesn't rip. If you want to get the full pasuk says like this. Daya piro sho betocho safa ye lepiv saviv maase oreg kefi tahra ye lo yikareya. The pasuk is actually talking about making a rim or a hem by the collar of the ketonet. And then it says, lo yikareya. So that just sounds like it's advice. Well, when you have a collar or a hem at the end of the garment, so it reinforces it. So now you can't tear it. So who told you to learn lo yikareya as a lo taseh? It's a lav. Lo yikareya, don't rip them. So the Gemara says, mi ketiv she lo yikara. The pasuk would have then said, in order that it doesn't rip, she lo yikara. But the pasuk says, lo yikareya, which is telling you, don't rip it. So therefore, it's a lav. And therefore it is punishable by Malkut if the garments are ripped. On purpose, of course. You only get Malkut if you did it on purpose. So lo yikareya, do not rip. If a guy ripped the garments of the Kohen Gadol on purpose, he's going to get Malkut. Comes the Gemara and says, Be'amar Rabbi Elazar, Hameziyah Hoshen Me'al Ha'efod. Okay, now you have the Hoshen, that's the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. As you remember, the breastplate had also the 12 stones, right, that were hung on it, connected to the 12 Shevatim. And that's resting on the ephod. that rests on the apron. Okay, the straps connected to the apron. So somebody that moves the choshen off the apron, the mesir bade aron, or for that matter, another thing, he takes out the poles from the rings that are in the aron. Remember, in the aron, you had rings on both sides, and they would stick poles in them. They were called the badim, and in the mishkan, they would use them to carry the aron. So it says shene emar. How do we know? Because by the choshen, it says the word lo yizah. Lo yizah means you should not detach it. And by the badim, it says velo yasuru. You should not remove them. So clearly, see two levim. Lo yizah, velo yasuru. Matkif la ravach abar Yaakov vedilma. Maybe ki kama rachmana. Maybe what Torah is saying by the choshen is like this: hadkinu. You fasten it nicely, fasten the choshen to the apron nicely, ve'avdinu, and do it in a way, shapir, good, kedesh lo yizah. Maybe again, it's just advice. Ve'lo yizah, meaning don't let it slide off. Doesn't move. And ve'lo yasuru, miketiv, shelo yizav shelo yasuru, and say the same thing by the badim. When you put the badim in the hole, in the tabaot of the aron, do it in a way that they won't come out. So comes the Gemara and says, miketiv shelo yizav v'shelo yasuru. Again, same argument. Does it say so it doesn't move and so it doesn't slide out or be removed? Doesn't say. It says lo yizah and lo yasuru, which is teaching us it's a lav, that if anybody that takes it out indeed is over in isur. Comes the Gemara now and analyzes Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina and Meketiv. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina brought a contradiction in Pesukim. We have one pasuk that says, I just want to read it the correct way. The pasuk says, "Betabeot ha'aron yihiyu habadim." In the rings of the aron will be the pole, the badim. Lo yasuru mimenu. They will not leave it. Lo yasuru, which means they don't move from that place. Now, uchti, we have another pasuk, vehuva et badav, and you will place the badim batabaot. Now, placing it is mashma that they weren't there. And obviously, you were moving them if you're placing them. So, they'll make up your mind. The first pasuk is mashma, they stay in the tabaot. From the second pasuk is mashma, you're placing it in. Look at Rashi. Ketiv lo yasuru, alma en zazin mehem. Especially, they don't move. Uchti, veveta. You will bring them. Alma, hulchinu ba'im betochan, which means they're moving. Make up your mind. So Gemara says, "Haketzah." So Gemara makes the compromise of the two pesukim. Mitparekin, they are actually in the tabot loosely. Ve'en nishmatin. However, they do not come out. So therefore, in the holes themselves, they're able to move. Ve'eveta, you're able to move them in the, you just cannot remove them totally. That's she. Mitparkin ve'en ha'shmatim. Berashen hayu avim. The poles at the head of them, they were thick. Correct, they got thicker. Ve'chnis roshan echad bedohak betabat. They would stick it in to the tabat to get it into the hole. U'be'emsa hayu dakin. In the middle, they were narrower, thinner. Hilkach lo ayunit hakin betabaot. They weren't flush against the tabaot, or it was a tight fit. It was a loose fit. Ela mitparikin ve'olchin nekan ulekan. You were able to slide them across in the tabaot themselves. Aval ena nishmatim batzet mehen. But they would never fall out. Lefishen avin b'rashen. Again, since they were thick at the head, they didn't fall out of the poles. So when the pasuk says they remain in, yeah, lo yasuru, you never take them out. What is this ve'heveta? It just means that they had. Right, they were movable in the tabaot themselves because of their shi'ur. We have a blighter to support this principle we just said. The tabaot ha'aron yiyu abadim. Right, in the tabaot you had the badim. Yachol lo yiyu zazin mekoman. You tell me what? They have to be in the rings and they don't move. Talmud omar vehuva et bada betabaot. Vehuva is mashma. You bring them. You bring them in and out. Oh, ve'uvah badav yachol yu nechnasim v'yotzim. You tell me ve'uvah means they go in and out. You can take them totally out. So make up your mind. How do you compromise it? Does it have to remain in, or are you able to move it in and out? No, the pasuk says it's got to remain in the badim. The badim has to remain in the tabaot. Hakitzad mitparkim ve'enishmatim. They're able to they're loosely placed in, but they're not. They don't come out totally. Amar Rabbi Hama Rabbi Hanina. My dichtiv. Now, the kedashim were the boards, we'll call them, that were in the Mishkan, and they made up the wall, right, that surrounded the perimeter of the Mishkan. So it says it was made out of cedar wood, called that aseh shittim, or call it acacia wood, but the pasuk doesn't just say aseh shittim, it says aseh shittim omedim, that it was a cedar wood or acacia wood that was standing. So the Gemara says, what does a standing mean? My dichtiv. Amar Rav Hama ben Rabbi Hanina, my dichtiv. Atzeh shittim omedim. So the Gemara gives different interpretations. Number one, she'omdim dere gedilatan. The way you positioned it as the boards, as the walls of the Mishkan, it was in the position that they grow. The bottom on the bottom and the top on the top, which means as they cut it from the tree, that's the same position that they placed it surrounding the Mishkan. So omdim, they stood kederech gedilatan, like they grow. That's one interpretation. Davar acher, omdim shemaramidim it sipuyan. They hold up. Omdim is they hold up. They stand. They hold up the gold plate around it. The kedashim were plated with gold. Okay? Now, how did they keep the gold plate on it? So they would like put nails in the sides of the kedashim, and the kedashim would then hold up the plate that was around it. So omdim, they hold up what's around it. Now she gives an alternate interpretation that the wood of the kedashim that never became wormy. If it would become decayed, what would happen to the sipui? It would fall off. So the omdim, they would hold up well, meaning the sipui would not fall off because the wood itself would not become spoiled. Comes the Gemara and gives a different interpretation. Davar acher, omdim, they stand as if they have endurance, which means for the long haul. Shemet omar, maybe you're going to say Abad Sibran, which means that their promise has been lost, Ubatel Sikuyan, and their hope is nullified. Talmud Lomar, Omdim, Sheomdim Le'onam Ul'olamim, which means these items over here, they're eternal. Which means even after the Mishkan was non-functional anymore, don't think that they lost hope with these kedashim. They're still around. Where are they? They're somewhere. Atzeh shittim omdim. They're omdim. They're la'ad ul'ol me'olamim. They are somewhere and they are still around. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ve'amar Rabbi Hama bar Hanina. Okay, now we're going to go to the big day Kodesh, the begadim of Aaron. What does this call them? It begdeh hasirad lesharet bakodesh. Now, from the fact that the Torah calls the begadim begdeh sirad, sirad, Rashi says, is lashon sarid. Sarid means leftovers or remnants. So why would you call the garments of the Kohen begdeh sirad, the garments that are left over or that remain? So the Gemara is doresh. Ilmale bigde kehuna. If it wasn't for the bigde kehuna, lo nishtayir misonehen shel Yisrael saridu palit. There would not be a remnant of the enemies of Israel. That's the way of saying Yisrael. Even a even one. Which means in the zechut of the Bigdei Kehuna, that when the Kohanim wore them, they brought the Korbanot, and Am Yisrael received Kapara, so it's called Bigdei Sirad. Which means there's only remnants of Israel today because of the Bigdei Kehuna that the Kohanim brought, the war, I should say, when they brought the Korbanot. That's the way Rashi says, top line of Rashi, on the right column. אל מלא בגדי כהונה שעל ידיהן מקריבים הקורבנות ומכפרים על ישראל. Now Rabbeinu Eliakim has a different interpretation. He says, "She'adayin hen kayamim beromi." Says the clothes of the Kohen Gadol are still somewhere in Rome today. Umitkaprim adayin al Yisrael, and still just they're not even being worn by a Kohen, obviously, just in their existence. They're giving kapara for Israel, and that's why they are called Bigdei Serad. Comes the Gemara and says, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar, Deber Rabbi Shimon Dana. You learned in the Bet Midrash of Rabbi Shimon, Begadim, these are garments, Shegurdin Otan Kibriyatan Michlehen, which means when they weave the garments of the Kohen, is weaved, Ma'aseh Arigah. When they weave it on the loom, so the garment was ready to wear right when it came off the loom, which seems to be a novelty, because usually after you take it off the loom, you still have to now, shape it and sew it to make it to the proper measurements. So first of all, these kelim over here, they put it on the loom, and right when it came off the loom, it was ready. However, saredin men klum, there was just a little piece left over, which was again a novelty. They call it bigdei serad, and normally there's a lot left over. After you take it off the loom, you have to cut and you have to, reshape it, etc. Here, when you took it off the loom, just a little drop was remnants, we'll call them, and everything else was ready to wear. Now she says in the second line, shegurdin otan, so weaving them, kibriyatan, right, like they're supposed to be, like they're supposed to be worn, michlehen, from their keli, from the loom. Kishayu chotchin otan begiradin shelahen mitoch li arigatan. When you cut it off and you took it off the loom, hayu osin kebriatam halulin kederek levishatam, which means they were already hollow, ready to, it was shaped already, right? He could just stick his hands in. Normally, after you take it off the loom, you have to start sewing it, to connect the sleeves and all that. You have pieces. So comes the Gemara and says, "Maihi." What is this referring to? So comes the Gemara and says, "Resh Lakish Amar Elu Maaseh Machat." That was referring to the Maaseh Machat, which means there was some remnants that he still had to sew. Where was the sewing? So we'll see now. Gemara meti ve bigdei keona en osin oto maase machat el maase oreg. What are you talking about? There was no sewing by the clothes of the Kohen. It was all maase oreg. Shnei amar maase oreg. Amar abaye lo nitzcha el le bet yad shelahem. It's referred to the bet yad. The bet yad would be the cuff of the garments. Kedetanya bet yad she bigdei keona ne ereget bifnei atzma. They wove it separately, the cuff. Then they would sew it on to the garment, umagat ad pisat hayad, and it would reach pisat hayad, the palm, which means it wasn't exactly a fit to the wrist, but it went beyond the wrist to the pisat hayad, and it reached the middle of, let's say, the palm of the kohen. Okay, that's the maaseh machat. So it was majority done by weaving, and then the last part they would sew the sleeve on at the end.
And all kohanim?
This is all the clothes of the kohanim. That's the way they were made. Amar Rehava, Amar Yehuda. New point. Gemara now discusses the three boxes that comprised the Aron. Now let's talk about it outside for a second. The Aron, the Ark, was made of three boxes. The middle box was all wood. But the Torah says that it has to be plated inside and outside with gold. Now what they could have done was just plate it with gold on the inside and the outside. But the Torah says no. They actually plated it by placing other boxes of gold inside of it and outside of it. By placing a gold box in the out in the middle box, we'll call it. So now the inside of that box became plated by the outer walls of the inner box. Right, they would inlay it. They would inlay it and drop it in. Smaller box, obviously, that fits in. They would drop it in. Now the middle box is all wood on the inside and the outside. So they would drop a second box inside it. Now the inner walls of the middle box are plated with gold. We'll get to the rim. And the outside of the box, they would drop it into a bigger box, correct? And therefore the outside of the middle box now was plated. And now the rim of the wood box, so they would also be plated. The Gemara is going to tell us that they would actually place the kaporet. The kaporet would fit on top of the, which is the cover, would cover the boxes. We'll see how. And therefore everything was gold on all sides. And the Gemara explains. Amar Rechava, Amar Rav, Shalosh Aronot Asa Betzalel. Betzalel, when he made the Mishkan, he made three arcs. Three boxes. Imsa Ayi Shel Eitz. Okay, the middle box is made out of wood. Tish'ah. And its shi'ur was 9 tefachim. Okay? Pinimi, the inner box, Shel Zahav. Shemona. It was 8. Now, if it's 8, and you drop it in, it's not going to cover the whole inside. So, how's it going to cover the whole inside? You need to cover 9. So that she says, Pinimi Shel Zahav Het, Tefachim Govo Mibachutz. Im Ovi Shulav. That's including the thickness of the base. The Ovi Shulav Etz Shel Imsa'i Tefach. You have to factor in the base. Now the base of the middle one was also a tefach. So if it's altogether 9 tefachim plus a base of a tefach, so it's really 8. So on the inside, you only have to plate 8. So therefore the box that you put in is perfect. It'll cover the whole, yes, it'll cover the whole inside of the box. Now how do we know, by the way, it was 9? Because the pasuk says, Amma v'chetzi orko. Now, an Amma is 6 tefachim, so Amma v'chetzi is 6 and 3, so that's how we know 9. Now, v'chitzon, that would be the outer box, asara umashu. So it was 10 and a drop. Now let's explain that, Rashi. V'chison, shel zahav, also had to be gold, because you're not plating the outside of the wooden box. Yud umashu, tish'a keneged gova imsa'i. That's 9 keneged, which you need to plate on the outside of the middle box. Umashu, Ovi shule zahav shel chitzon, right, including the mashu of the base, right, the base. The tefach asiri. Now, what was the tefach asiri? We said 10 and a mashu. Ole lemul ovi akaporet shu tefach o mechaseh ibur akaporet v'aron, which means the outer box was an extra tefach. Went up, put a little high, so when you put the kaporet in, it was recessed, exactly, which is another kaporet, the cover, well, kaporet is the cover of the aron, it was placed inside. So therefore you add 9, a mashu was the base of it, so it's 9 in a mashu, plus an extra tefah, 10 and a mashu now, what? In order that when you cover it, the cover will be inside, inlaid into the, flush with the walls of the box, outer box. So that's the logic, its base. Outer base was a mashu, okay, you have 9 to cover the outside, or the wooden, and then an extra tefah for the cover to be flush with it. Comes. So again, let's review the three boxes. The outer one was 9, the inner one was, the middle one was 9, and the inner was 9, which is really 8. And then you have the outer one, which is 10 and a mashu, which we need 9 of it to cover the walls. Mashu for the base, and then a tefah for the cover. Comes the Gemara and says, that Tanya, we have a braita. Ahad asar umashu. Ooh, we have a shita that says that the outer box was actually 11 and a half. So comes the Gemara and says, Lakasha, ha keman damar yesh be'obyo tefach, ha keman damar in be'obyo tefach. So just going on a machloket over here, how thick was the base? That she says, ve'atanya achad asar umashu, it's Rashi on the right column, umeshani, ha keman damar yesh be'obyo shulei azahav tefach, Kashir is probably shulei ha'etz, which means someone to say that the gold, the thickness of the gold at the base was also a tefach. So that would give you 11.5. Which means besides the base being having a shi'ur to it, right? But the it was plated.
The base is wood.
Right. So the just like the base of the wood had a shi'ur, so it was plated also. So therefore you say the gold also. So according to the shi'ur, that's 11.5. The plating also was an extra tefach. According to the plating, it was 10.5. No, that plating was not a tefach. Let's review now the three boxes of the Aron. Again, the middle box, which is all wood. Torah says, "Amavachetzi komato." That would be 9 tefachim high. Now again, that would, of course, if you were measuring it from the outside, it would be 9 all the way down. Of course, that would be including its base from the outside. If you're measuring it on the inside, you do have to factor in that it does have a base, which was a tefach, and therefore technically you only have to cover 8 of wall. Hence, the inner box was 8 tefachim. So when you stuck the inner box in, it would cover the entire wall from the inside of gold. Okay, now you have to cover the outside. And the outside of the wooden box was 9 tefachim, as we mentioned. So it says the outer box, according to one opinion, was 10 umashu. So very good. It would cover 9 of the wall. The mashu was its base. And the extra tefach was actually went above the boxes in order when they took the kaporet, which is the cover, they would inlay it to cover a flush across the entire box. Now, or entire top. That's one opinion. There was another opinion that said that the outer box was actually 11. The language of the Gemara is 11 umashu. Now the way they get 11 would be is the actual box itself, let's say, is 9. You have the one tefah that rises above for the kaporet, and then there was an extra tefah of base. So the Mefarshim do point out that when you say 11, you don't have to say 11 umashu, because the mashu was the base. Now we're discussing the base is actually a tefah. So therefore it's actually either 10 in a mashu or 11. Comes the Gemara and continues. And the Gemara says, Umay mashu, and what was this mashu? So comes the Gemara and says, Zir, which means on the top of the Aron, they would on the outer box, you would have what's called a zer, which would be a crown that actually went across, like a ring, a crown that went across. Amar Yohanan, the Gemara comes along and explains this, and says, Shelosha zerim hen. There were actually 3 crowns on different vessels. Shel mizbeach, v'shel aron, v'shel shulchan. That would be the altar, the aron, the ark, and the table. Shel mizbeach. Zacha Aharon v'netalo. The Mizbeah, that was the crown, we'll call it, of Aharon. So to speak, keter keonah, because a crown has like the zed is a crown. Zed is a crown, actually. So we call that the Mizbeah is keter keonah. That's Aharon's, and he was zochet to that. Shel Shulchan, the crown of the Shulchan, Zacha David v'netalo. David the Melech was zochet, and he took that. The Shulchan is a siman of Malchut, because the Shulchan represents Osher. There's wealth on the Shulchan. So that's Keter Malchut. Shel Aharon, who was zochet to get the Keter of the Aharon, the crown of the Aharon? Adayin Munachu. That's resting for everybody. Anybody wants to take that crown of Torah, you don't have to be a Kohen, you don't have to come from the Davidic dynasty. The crown of Torah is there for the taking. Maybe you'll say, hey, maybe it's less. Maybe it's less valuable than the other Ketarim. After all, anybody can take it. Kavanah says, Tamud Lomar, Bi Melachim Yimlochu. Through the Torah makes kings. Which means the Torah is able to elevate a person to a status of a king. Which means that's already the highest level. Which means the king's power, where does it emanate from? From the Torah. Therefore the Torah must be higher than all of them. Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Ketiv. Rabbi Yohanan brings a contradiction in the Pesukim. Ketiv, Zar. The way the Torah writes this crown, the Torah writes it Zayin Resh, which you read it Zar, which means like a stranger. The Karinan Zer, but we read it as if it's written Zayin Yud Resh, meaning Zer. So how do you reconcile it? Is it Zad, which is a stranger, or is it Zer, or is it a crown? So the Gemara says, Zacha Naasito Zer. If you Zoche, the Torah will become to you a crown. Lo Zacha. If you don't have the Zechut, Zara Hemenu, it'll leave you. Now what is this referring to? That she says, four lines from the bottom on the right side. Zacha Lilmod Lishma Ulkayema. If you're learning for the right reasons, and you're fulfilling what you're learning, then already the Torah becomes a crown for a person. However, if a person doesn't learn Lashem Shamayim, now, then already the Torah will leave him. Now we should be pointed out that when we say not Lashem Shamayim, we don't mean for Kavod and ulterior motives like that, because the Gemara Pesachim does say a person should learn, at least in the beginning, Shelo Lishma, Shemitok Shelo Lishma, Ba Lishma. So what Rashi means over here, Shelo Lishma, meaning he's learning to uproot the Torah, you know, to criticize it, or he's learning the kanter, exactly, to dispute and to elevate himself. So therefore, that type of learning, Na'asa Zaralo, that Torah's not going to stay by him. He'll forget it. Comes again, Rabbi Yohanan and Mekiti. Rabbi Yohanan brings a contradiction in Pesukim. Va'asita lecha aron etz. God tells Moshe, in the singular, Va'asita, you shall make an aron etz. Uchti va'asu aron asishitim. But the Pesuk says, they made. So make it up. Was it done by the individual or was it done by the people? Mikan the tamid hacham shebenei iro mitzuvin la'asoto melachto. From here we see that it's incumbent upon the people of the city to do the work of the scholar. Jesus, Moshe's job was what? Ve'asita. But they didn't let him do it. What does the pasuk say? Ve'asu. They did it for him, which means the job of the tamid hachamim should be done by others. Okay? Comes the Gemara and says, so you had to plate the wood box from the inside and from the outside. We learn a lesson from over here. The symbolism. A scholar has to be through and throughout. He has to be pure. Which is just like the wooden box. It was gold on the outside and gold on the inside. A true scholar should not be on the outside showing, let's say, an impression of righteousness and of purity, but on the inside he's lacking in Hashamayim. Oh, he has to be pure through and throughout. Now, Amar Abaye v'Tim Araba Bar Ola Nikra Nita'av, which is a Tamir Hakam that does not have Yirat Shamayim, does not have fear of God, he is called loathsome. Nita'av Shene Emar Af Ki Nita'av V'Ne'elach Ishoteh Kamayim Avla, which means he's called Nit'av as loathsome. V'ne'elach literally means taunted. That is a person that drinks the waters of iniquity. Kamayim of Avla, I mean the waters of sin. Which he learns, but he doesn't have Yirat Shamayim, he doesn't practice what he's learning. Therefore, it's considered abominable what he's doing. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. My dichtiv. What does the pasuk mean? Lama ze mechid biyad kisil. Why does the kisil, the imbecile, have merchandise? Liknot chokma, to buy wisdom. Velev ayin, but he doesn't have a heart. What is this talking about over here? He has money, let's say, to buy wisdom, but what? He doesn't have a heart. What is this referring to? Oy lahem lesoneihen shel tamidei achrimim. Woe to the enemies of the tamidei achrimim, which means the tamidei achrimim themselves. Shoskim b'Torah. They learn Torah. Ve'en b'hem yirat shamayim. But they do not have fear of God. What happens to them? So the pasuk says on them, he has the goods, which means he has the Torah. However, he doesn't have the heart, which means he doesn't have Yirat Shamayim. Machriz Labiyanai. Labiyanai used to announce, Chaval, woe, al delet le darta, a person who doesn't have a courtyard, the tara le darte avid, but he makes a door to the courtyard that he doesn't have, which means the Torah is like a door. It's an entrance in order to bring you to Yirat Shamayim. But if you just have the door, but you don't have the chatzir behind it, so then your Torah is worthless. Which is woe to a guy that has a door that leads to a courtyard, but doesn't have a courtyard. If you're just learning Torah, you got the door, but it didn't lead to the chatzir. Amadu Ravad Rabbanan b'matutam minaychu. He says, please, you'll forgive me. With permission, lo tirtun tarte gehinam. Don't inherit twice gehinam. What does it mean? A person that's going to learn Torah in this world without Yirat Shamayim, so he's going to get double gehinam. Why? He's going to get Geinam in the next world because he didn't have Yirat Shamayim. But he's also going to get Geinam in this world because he didn't enjoy himself to the fullest level because he was learning the Torah. Which means you're going to get double Geinam. He suffered over here and he's going to suffer over there. Look at the Rashi. 5 lines down on the left column. Tarte Geinam liyot yigi'im ba'amanim ba'Torah ba'olam hazeh. You're toiling and working to study Torah in this world. Ve'lo tikayemua. You're not going to fulfill what you're learning. What's going to end up happening? You didn't enjoy here, you're not going to enjoy there. Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, my dichtim. Vezot haTorah asher sam Moshe. The Torah says, this is the Torah that Moshe placed. Now, seemingly the Torah should use the word asher limed Moshe. This is the Torah that Moshe taught. What does it mean, sam? So sam can also mean like a... an ointment or medicine. Sam. So the Gemara says, Zacha, if a person has a drug, if a person has the Zechut, Na'asito Sam Hayim. The Torah becomes a drug of life.
Elixir of life.
Right. Lo Zacha. Na'asito Sam Mita. It becomes a drug of death. It becomes poison. And Mefashim explains, what does he mean, Zacha? If a person learns the proper way, which means the Shem Shamayim, and also he applies himself in order to understand his learning, what he's studying, then the Torah becomes Sam Hayim. It's a drug of life. It brings him beracha. But if a person doesn't apply himself, and therefore when he's studying, he's making mistakes, and he doesn't learn the proper way, then the Torah becomes a drug of death. Chas v'shalom. Now, it's just like a regular drug. It only is beneficial if you take it the right way. Gee, there's a certain dosage, there's a certain way you have to take it. The same drug that can bring life, if you don't take it the right way, can chas v'shalom be detrimental. So they're saying, the Vizot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe. The Torah is Sam. It's a medicine, it's a drug. You have to take it according to the instructions in order for it to be beneficial. This is what Rabbah said. De'umanla, if a person is skillful in the study of Torah, meaning he's expert, he knows what he's doing, Samad Haya. It's an elixir of life. Velo uman la, but if he's not skillful in it, sama demota is actually a drug of chas v'shalom death. And again, that's when he doesn't study l'shem shamayim, or he's not applying himself to understand what he's learning, and therefore he does not have the proper understanding. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Rabbi Yonatan ben Ketiv, Rabbi Yonatan brought the Stidam pesukim. One pasuk says, "Pekudei Hashem yisharim." The ways of God are straight, or the statutes of God are straight. Misamehelev. And it brings a person happiness. I mean, the study of Torah brings happiness to a person. Uchtiv, Imrat Hashem Tzirufa. The ways of God are, the words of God, which is the Torah, is Tzirufa. Tzirufa literally means this pasuk, it purifies a person, which means like a metal. When you burn it, so it takes out all the impurities. But from the simple interpretation of the pasuk, it's much about Tzirufa, as the Torah burns a person. You just told me it makes a person happy. Now you're telling me it burns the person, Tzirufa. So the Gemara says, Zakha Mesamahato. Again, if you learn Torah the right way, you study the Shem Shamayim, you review your learning, you understand what you're learning, you have the right understanding, then it brings happiness. Lo Zakha Sodafto. But if he doesn't study the right way, Chas v'shalom, that she says, Yisurin v'Gehinam. It can lead to afflictions and Gehinam. Neshtakish Amar Migufe Dikla Nafka. I don't need a contradiction in Pesukim. I can learn it from the Pesuk itself. Zachat Tzorafto Lehayim. Lo Zachat Tzorafto Lemita. Which means, Emrat Hashem Tzorufa. It depends. Either the fire will be a fire of purification, that's a good fire, or but then the fire will be of Yisurin Gehinam. From the Pasuk itself, Tzirufa, it depends. Sometimes you have Tzirufa Hayim, the burning of life, which is good. Sometimes Bar Adam punishes the Tzaddikim in this world, just in order to clean them 100%, or to give them Yisurin in this world, to get bonus, Yisurin Shel Ahava in Olam Haba. That's a good purification. Otherwise, God has Shalom, it says, Tzoraftu Legehinam. He burns them because he didn't study Torah the right way. Yirat Hashem Torah Omed Ta'ad. It says, a person that Yirat Shamayim, pure, Omed Ta'ad, stands forever. Amar Bihanina, Ze Halomed Torah Betahara. This is a person who has Yirat Shamayim, that stands forever. This is a guy that learns Torah in purity. How do you learn Torah in purity? Mayi, Nosei Isha, V'agak Lomed Torah. First he gets married, and then he studies. Which means when a person gets married first, that she says, Nitzol Mehirurei Avera. You say from bad thoughts. That's the way you study Torah B'Tahara. You get married, and then already your Torah is such. Wow. Last point, Edu Tashem Ne'emana. The Torah is a witness. Eidut Hashem. The Torah is a testimony for the person. The Torah actually is going to testify on its learners if they kept the Torah that they studied or not, which is the witness is going to be the Torah itself. That Jesus mikiyem umilokiyem. The Torah itself is going to be the witness. So some explain, because every time you fulfill a mitzvah, you create a malach. And every time you create an avera, you create a malach. So the sin and the mitzvah itself are the witnesses. The malach comes along, I'm the witness. What's the proof? I'm here. As a fact that I was created, it must be he did the mitzvah. So Eidut Hashem ne'emana, which means the biggest witness is going to be the Torah itself and the mitzvah, whether we fulfilled or not. Olam.